your Polycast for Tuesday, May 16th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, it's back to the drawing board at the state capitol, and Forest Lake will keep its police department. DFL Governor Mark Dayton and Republican legislative leaders are set to return to the bargaining table today with hopes of reaching a compromise budget agreement before the session clock runs out. It took a day of passing bills, followed by quick vetoes, to get both sides talking again. Tim Pugmire has more.
The House and Senate passed five budget bills yesterday, and Dayton vetoed them all within an hour of their arrival. He vetoed an earlier set of five bills last week. Turning to negotiations, Dayton said he'll make an offer on global budget targets that he described as a significant departure from his January budget proposal. He said it will move toward Republicans on spending reductions and tax cuts.
It's a big step. It's a mega step. And I hope it's recognized as such.
House Speaker Kurt Dowd said he expects the negotiations to go all day, every day, until there's an agreement. Dowd said he doesn't feel like the governor has been serious about compromising.
It's time to roll up our sleeves and get serious. Now, I said that 2 weeks ago. I said it a week ago. I'm saying it today. I'm hoping it actually happens this time because it's time that we get it done.
Republicans walked away from talks last week after growing frustrated with a lack of progress. They then started passing the budget bills, but the strategy broke down when Senate Republicans, who have a narrow 34-33 advantage, found themselves down a member for several days. They were back at full strength yesterday. GOP Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka said he's ready to return to negotiations.
We're saying we need to watch spending. He's saying we shouldn't give too much tax relief back, and both of those sides are going to have to give a little bit. We only have a week left.
Despite the looming veto threat, many Republicans defended their bills as worthy of the governor's signature. GOP Senator Roger Chamberlain of Lino Lakes made a pitch for the $1.15 billion tax bill.
This bill gives opportunity to every Minnesotan in a variety of ways, directly and indirectly.
Democrats in the House and Senate didn't have the votes to stop the bills, but they took several turns criticizing them during the floor debates. DFL Representative Tim Mahoney of St. Paul took aim at the Jobs, Commerce, and Energy bill.
Earlier, I called this a veto missile, and I want to apologize for insulting missiles. This is more of a scud, not very far to travel, and no direction.
During the Senate debate on the finance bill for public safety and judiciary, DFL Senator Ron Latz of St. Louis Park said the bill would shortchange employees in several state agencies.
This bill is worth vetoing just because it's such a scrawny target.
But Republican Senator Warren Limmer of Maple Grove reminded his DFL colleagues that they have not yet seen the final version of the bill.
This is now the second step in a negotiation, and we're not entirely finished yet. So I've taken all of your notes down, and hopefully we will consider passage of this today, and we will start a new round of negotiations.
But time is running short. House Minority Leader Melissa Hortman, a DFLer from Brooklyn Park, said Republicans wasted a full week to pass budget bills headed to certain vetoes. Hortman said she no longer believes there's enough time left to finish the budget.
You cannot responsibly draft $46 billion of spending bills in 7 days, no matter how fantastic your staff is. That's an inhuman exercise, and we haven't been negotiating for 7 days, so we don't have an agreement for them to even start drafting.
Lawmakers need to finish their work by midnight on May 22nd to avoid a special session. That special session would need to wrap up by July 1st to avoid a partial government shutdown. Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
A bill making it a felony for parents to allow their minor daughters to go through genital mutilation has passed the Minnesota House. The bill, approved 124-4 yesterday, adds the crime to Minnesota's child abuse laws, makes it punishable by up to 20 years in prison and loss of custody. The push was prompted by the case of two girls who were taken to Michigan to undergo the procedure. It's already illegal in Minnesota to perform it, but there is doubt about whether parents who willingly allow it to happen can be prosecuted. Republican Representative Mary Franson of Alexandria says the state needs to send a strong signal against what she says is gender violence.
This is the definition of a woman's health issue. This is true gender violence. And the House leadership and our caucus has said we're not going to stand for little girls being harmed in such an egregious way.
Similar legislation has yet to get a Senate hearing. DFL U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar says she wants the Senate to investigate President Donald Trump's disclosure of potentially classified information to Russian officials at a White House meeting last week. Trump tweeted this morning that he only shared facts and had the right to do so, but Klobuchar told CNN last night that disclosures can have grave consequences under some circumstances.
We don't want to put people in danger, and that's what happens if information is put out even a little that can lead someone to a source. And then, of course, our allies. In this case, it appears, if this is all true, that one of our allies, to be helpful, gave our intelligence people this information, and now it is potentially in the hands of the Russians, someone who clearly we cannot trust.
Klobuchar says she wants to see the Intelligence Committee track down what happened and an independent commission and special prosecutor brought in to look at allegations involving Russia. Business owner Dean Phillips of Deep Haven today launched a congressional campaign against 3rd District Republican Congressman Eric Paulson. We'll hear more from Dean Phillips tomorrow. Minnesota's two licensed medical marijuana manufacturers are losing money. Mark Stile reports.
The AP says Minnesota Medical Solutions and Leafline Labs have lost a combined $11 million in the 2 years medical marijuana sales have been legal. Minnesota Medical Solutions told the AP the company hopes to break even this year. The state health department says when the manufacturers were selected, they were required to demonstrate that they could operate 3 years with losses. In an emailed statement, the department said that both companies remain committed to the medical marijuana program and are moving forward. Mark Stile, Minnesota Public Radio News, Worthington.
Forest Lake will keep its police department after all. Following a week of vocal objections from residents, the mayor and city council in the North Metro suburb last night reversed a decision to disband the force and contract with the local sheriff's office. Matt Sepik has the story.
As Forest Lake police officers walked into last night's special city council meeting, residents gave them a standing ovation. Many community members wore T-shirts reading, "Nevertheless, they persisted." Others held signs saying, "Save FLPD," printed as part of an intense grassroots campaign to halt a cost-cutting move by city leaders that would have spelled the end of local policing in the town of 20,000. Cheers erupted again after Mayor Ben Winnick and Councilmember Ed Eigner voted with two other council members to approve a new 3-year contract with officers who are part of the Law Enforcement Labor Services Union.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries.
Just a week earlier, Winnick and Eigner had voted in favor of hiring the Washington County Sheriff's Office to enforce the law in Forest Lake. But a lot changed in that time. Students at the high school walked out of class in support of the cops. Citizens started a petition to recall Winnick. The Washington County Board pulled the policing contract, and the city and its officers agreed to a tentative labor agreement after going without one since January. Councilmember Mike Freer was the only one of the five to vote against the new police contract.
There's still issues with this contract. It does not establish local control. There are still serious issues that I have with the agreement, unfortunately, we're not able to discuss it at this point.
The new contract includes 2% salary increases for officers this year and next, and a 3% raise in 2019. Councilmember Mara Bain, who has supported keeping the department intact, says there was never any compelling reason to contract with the county. Bain says the cost difference was negligible.
This was never about dollar savings. This was about what was the best service model for Forest Lake, and I think we found a contract here that provides that service model.
Bain says the council's 180-degree turnaround was the result of thousands of residents petitioning City Hall and speaking up for the department. Among them was Carmen Martin, who's lived in Forest Lake for a decade. She says the city's 23 sworn officers deserve that support, especially at a time when police across the country face heavy criticism.
They're a part of the community, and people are proud of them being here. And we had kids that showed up and said, you know, I've gotten in trouble, and the police helped me. And they're not afraid of the police. they know that the police are there to help them and build them into a better person. So I think we've got a good group here.
After a week in which every officer in the department faced the real possibility of job loss, Captain Greg Weiss says a big task in the months ahead is forging new bonds with city leaders.
It's time to move forward. It's time to find a common ground of what the city leaders want, what we can provide, and do it in a fiscally responsible manner to the best of our abilities as we always have done.
To that end, the City Council also approved hiring an organizational development specialist to work with council members and police on rebuilding their relationship. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Forest Lake.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.